In the endless reaches of the universe, there once existed a planet known as Krypton, a planet that burned like a green star in the distant heavens. There, civilization was far advanced and had brought forth a race of supermen whose mental and physical powers were developed to the absolute peak of human perfection. But there came a day when giant quakes threatened to destroy Krypton forever. One of the planet's leading scientists, sensing the approach of doom, placed his infant son in a small rocket ship and sent it hurtling in the direction of the Earth just as Krypton exploded. The rocket ship sped through star-studded space, landing safely on Earth with its precious burden, Krypton's sole survivor. A passing motorist found the uninjured child and took it to an orphanage. As the years went by and the child grew to maturity, he found himself possessed of amazing physical powers. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. The infant of Krypton is now the man of steel. Superman! To best be in a position to use his amazing powers in a never-ending battle for truth and justice, Superman has assumed the disguise of Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper.
Very cool. That's one of the first Superman cartoons. And I thought it was just perfect to open today's sermon. So today our text is Acts 14, verses 8 through 18. It's kind of a superhero story about Paul and Barnabas. So they are going to save the day. In Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet and had never walked, for he had been crippled from birth. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul, looking at him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates. He and the crowds wanted to offer sacrifice. When the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are mortals just like you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the past generations, he allowed all the nations to follow their own ways, yet he has not left himself without a witness in doing good, giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons and filling you with food and your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. Okay, the kids can be dismissed, and they are going to head on upstairs, and we are going to gather our kids afterwards out in the playground. So then now they're going upstairs with Marcio, who's in the back. And they're going to be studying Paul today and Barnabas. And so they are going on upstairs right now. Great. Okay, so this is pretty amazing. Can you see Superman swooping in and saving the day here? Yet those supermen are normally able to flee the scene. They're not stuck there with all the people. So when the miraculous things happen, how do people respond? They freak out, huh? They're like, "Whoa! Paul and Barnabas went from being everyday Joes to being superheroes that originate from divine gods such as Zeus and Hermes." So they can't believe this. You know, the Greek gods are so interesting. And in many ways, they kind of echo our Marvel heroes today. So, how many of you have seen the Guardians of the Galaxy? A good measure of us. How many? Okay, so please forgive me if you're aware of this, but I thought of this as I was preparing the sermon. It seems to me like a lot of the Guardians of the Galaxy reflect the Greek gods. So we have Poseidon, who seems a lot like Aquaman, huh? You think? And then Thor is a lot like Thor, who is Thor in the Greek, for the Greek gods, is the god of thunder. And Thor is unbelievably strong in the Guardians. So these Greek gods were idols. And they were people that, they were kind of created so that people could kind of understand their world and try and understand a superpower that was beyond them. And we would never do that of our superheroes. We would never worship our superheroes. We would never look to them with great awe and majesty. But this happened to Paul and Barnabas that day. They were immediately given superhero status when they show compassion to a man who'd been crippled from birth. This poor man, he must have been so sad. He must have been so downcast and maybe even pushed aside all of his life as not having value, or maybe people blamed him as being a sinner or something like that. So this healing was so amazing to the crowd that they knew it was of divine origin. Yet their only worldview was those of the Greek gods. Paul and Barnabas were taken aback. The people were crying out in their native language of Lycaonian and not speaking Greek. Initially, Paul and Barnabas had no idea what was taking place. They couldn't fly off to the land of the Guardians of the Galaxy and regroup. They were in for a surprise as people prepared to worship them. They brought oxen and garlands to the gates for a sacrifice. Then the Lycaonians were prepared to worship. In many ways, this is how our culture treats superheroes. We line the box offices with sales, big sales. The latest movie, The Guardians of the Galaxy 2, grossed $851,501,152 in the worldwide box office. This came from thenumbers.com. Is the world dreaming of a superhero to save them? The truth is that Paul and Barnabas were just regular people like you and me who serve an extraordinary God. They healed a man who was crippled from birth. The Bible says, Paul, looking at him intently and seeing that he had enough faith to be healed, So he saw something. He saw faith in this man to be healed. This man, this crippled man, must have worn his heart on his sleeves. Paul looked at him intently. He saw supernaturally, that there was enough faith for healing. There was enough faith for transformation. He knew that it is by the wounds, suffering, and grace of our Lord, topped by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that healing comes. It takes faith. It takes belief and vision of the Lord to bring about transformation. This begs for us to pray for people around us, to pray for healing on a daily basis. We can pray for those as the Spirit leads us, for their lives to be changed. When the person believes in Jesus Christ and has faith, this is a huge bonus. It is easy for us to have prayer requests for the many people that we love that don't have faith in God, and we can pray for their transformation. But when we see and we know that someone is eagerly asking for prayers for themselves and is open to God, it's possible that I could even say, that there may even be more power in those prayers, because those people are open to and receiving God in their lives. Could it be that Jesus' transformative love is alive and well today? Do you have faith to be healed or to speak healing over others? Paul said, stand upright on your feet. Stand up to that man. That is a moment of truth. The poor, crippled man that was possibly invisible to society, that man was second class, maybe even rejected as one whom God had forgotten, a sinner who would be laughed at. Would this bring him further mockery? Would this only add to the pain of his life? This man stood up. He did it. This was a spectacular sight. Oh, if we could just see it, if we could just see what happened. It was like the fireworks went off. The people went ballistic. The crowds went crazy. And he stood upright on his feet. The crowds went straight to carrying out their crazy worship, much like the culmination of a great sporting event, like when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They cried out that the gods had come down in human form. They were living in it. They were so excited. In many ways, they were right. God had come down, but they didn't know the healing work of Jesus Christ. They didn't have faith in the one true God. Paul and Barnabas were like, no way. This can't happen. We are ordinary people. Let me introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me teach you of Hosanna's grace and merciful trust. Clark Kent is not turning into Superman here. We are normal guys who serve an almighty God. Don't worship us, they said. We're just guys. Guys that have good news. They went about sharing that they were just mortals with a really true living God. We're just messengers with good news to share with you, they said. They said, turn from these worthless things. The worthless things are the worship that adores and praises false gods. Think about it for a moment. What today would be an object of worship in our culture? Because we don't necessarily worship the Greek gods. So think about it. What in our culture are some things that people worship? And if you're comfortable with that, turn to someone next to you and share some of your ideas of what people worship. Okay. I was pondering this myself, and I thought of, we worship sometimes human sexuality, wealth, individuality, being a unique ourselves and everything being relative to us, and maybe even power or control over other people. Those are kind of big ideas. But you know, sometimes those things point people, in many cases, to debt, excessive self-expression, promiscuity, and the repression of others. Those turn into seeking the self or seeking worldly things. People turn to their heroes and live their lives in their wake. I appreciated what Natalie Cole said on Youth Sunday. How many were here on Youth Sunday? A lot of us. It was such a great Sunday, and Natalie had something to say. She said, people try to be like their idols. I thought that was neat that she said that. And she was saying that that was a loss for so many of the youth, that they're not being who God made them, as special people. So they're trying to be like Gwen Stefani or Ariana Grande, but they're not being themselves and their unique selves that God created them. They lose themselves as they seek to be fully other and to be found like other people in the media. You know, and this can be found in the Christian world too, as we try and emulate other Christians and not emulate what the Holy Spirit is teaching us and the one true God. Paul and Barnabas were pointing not to themselves, but to the true healer and the otherworldly. Initially, Paul begins with an aspect about him that they would be able to understand and resonate with. God is the God of creation and the giver of the rains and the crops and the food they eat. They pointed to that. And that the joy they have in life comes from God. They could hardly get through their message that people wanted to sacrifice. It says in the text, even with these words, they scarcely refrained the crowds from sacrificing to them. We are mortals just like you, and we bring you good news. I must confess that as I read this text, I was drawn to an otherworldly world, the superheroes, the galactic starveyors, the guardians of the galaxy. But I'm really humbled because this story shows me the life of a Christian, one who's looking for faith, looking to see where the Holy Spirit is going to speak in our life to reach out to others and to provide encouragement and transformation for other people. Because he saw enough faith in that man. It speaks to me to listen and to look and to discern and to be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to me about who I should pray for and what I should do. I'm pleased to reflect that God is not calling me to be anything but my mortal self who serves a superhuman God, a God that we can share with this world, a God that loves the whole world, a God of miracles, a God that is intimate with our circumstances, as we trust and have faith in him. May we approach the throne of Christ, sitting at his feet, taking the word of God literally. May we find faith around us and in us, and may we step out in faith. I'm challenged by this passage. I pray that you are too. As we step out in faith, life may look more like a circus. It may be chaotic. It may be unbelievable. It may be hard. Other people, they may even reject us. They may be uncomfortable as we are transformed and we speak out the words that God is calling us to speak. Like to the poor, crippled man. Maybe that is us. Maybe we need to stand up on our own feet. We have an incredible God. Let's trust God and step out in faith, and maybe he will lead us to do great things or even small things with great love. Yet, life isn't all about doing. It's about being, too. Abiding with Christ. Walking with Christ. Living with Christ. Makes us strong. Christ is our constant intimacy and constant walk that gives us discernment and gives us direction. Walking with Christ as we receive him as Lord and Savior and walk with him daily enables us to see miracles and experience the great things of God. And this only leads us deeper and further on our walk with God. It kind of may sound weird. This may sound weird. It's okay. It is weird. So walking with God, the ultimate, most high God, who's in heaven, yet we're on earth, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and telling us and guiding us to do things in our world. And that's where the weirdness becomes more of a reality, is it's the Holy Spirit. Some of us are sitting down today on the ground, sitting and waiting. sitting and sulking in our circumstances. My question today is there faith in us? If God were, or Paul were to look at us today, would he see enough faith? Would he see hope? Would our hearts be on our sleeves? So I'm going to invite Paul up, and I'm going to take a moment to pray for our congregation that's here today. I'm so impressed with every one of you being out in late July here at church. You obviously are hardcore Christians, so way to be. I know Stephen, Pastor Brian's here this morning over here. And I'm thankful for everybody that's here. And I'm going to have a little time of prayer, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to show me that you have faith, that you'd like for God to do something in your life, something transformative in your life, and only you know what that is. It's not something I'm going to say, for those of you that your shopping list for of what you need from God is this, that, or that. But I'm just going to say in general, what is there something that you need from God today? And then I'm going to, during prayer, allow you to have the opportunity to slip up your hand. And I will recognize that as a step of faith, almost as the scripture says. And this is, I know, is somewhat outside of our box for this church, but I'm excited about it. So let's pray and let's seek God and be open to God's superhuman power. Clearly, we are not guardians of the galaxy. I'm no guardian of the galaxy. I kind of wish I was. I'd want to be the mom in that Incredibles movie, actually, if I got to be anybody. She is so rad. anyway, so let's go ahead and seek God in prayer. Lord, we come to you today and we thank you. Thank you for your super powers, your super amazing work. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, which is the great superpower in our hearts and in our world. And we pray you'll help us to turn on the radio to that frequency so that we can hear what you're doing and hear what you're speaking to us. Lord, of all the people here that are thinking about things, struggling with things, have heavy hearts, Lord, we pray that you would see our faith. So I ask anyone who needs prayer today, has faith today, to raise your hand. And Lord, as we reach out to you, we thank you for faith. We thank you for hope, and we pray that you will bring your transformative power into our lives, that you will heal us, restore us, give us wisdom as we're fighting with this, struggling with this, and in need of your grace and your power in our life. We pray that whatever's blocking will be removed. We pray for our stinginess, pride, whatever's keeping us from experiencing fullness, Lord, we pray that that will be gone in Jesus' name. We pray that you will give us an open door that we can walk through. Lord, may everybody here know your love, your intimate love for everybody here, Lord. May we all know that you know our circumstances, you know our hearts. And you see our faith, and we celebrate that, Lord. And we thank you in advance for your transformative work. In Jesus' name, amen.